This is Tuesday, June 9th, 2015. The Eternal Conflict is coming to Heroes of the Storm, the Dark Moon Herald returns with two episodes, and finally, the final boss has come back to Realm Maintenance. This is episode 148.
When the servers go down, we'll tell you what's up. You're listening to Realm Maintenance.
Ladies and gentlemen, Fire Lords and Minions, podcasters and podcastees, welcome to Realm Maintenance. I'm Ro, and thanks as always for listening. Well, look who it is! Boy, I'm really terrible with voices, aren't I? Here is the rolling restart.
My brothers say I spend too much time in the forge. They think it ain't befitting a king. Ha! You don't forge legendary weapons like mine while sitting on a throne. The lands of Cosmodan are mine. And when I bring the pain, lads, it's hammer time!
So that was Magni Bronzebeard, and the Dwarven King is coming soon to a Hearthstone board near you. Magni is the first alternate hero to be introduced to the game, so if you're sick of Garrosh, you can play as Magni. Now, there's no change in hero power, you don't get any new spells, but you do get a new voice for emotes, and you even get a new card back as well that's themed around Magni. And all of that is pretty cool, especially if you're not too fond of Garrosh or Orcs or Horde or whatever. There are new alternate heroes for other classes coming after Magni as well. But all of these come at a price. Just, you know, $9.99 each. Now, I was going to say that the forums must be up in flames over this, but when I went to browse them, all I saw was 6 pages of spam posts. I'm not sure what the deal is with that. The original post, though, did have plenty of comments, maybe not as much as people talking about the F word in WoW, but this has still caused a bit of a stir in the Hearthstone community. And my personal opinion on it is, it's a cosmetic microtransaction in a free-to-play game, and it doesn't really affect gameplay that much at all. It's a cool idea, and personally, I expected that alternate heroes were going to come at a price. It's really like buying a skin in Heroes of the Storm, at least from my perspective. Now, $9.99? That does seem kind of pricey for what is essentially a voice pack and some new artwork, which has a little bit of animated flair to it from what I've seen. But there are people out there who are more than willing to buy it. I mean, let's remember, there were tons of people who have bought mounts in World of Warcraft for $25, pets for $10. Team 5 in the way even tested the waters of this kind of thing when they created an exclusive card back for Blackrock Mountain that you could only get by pre-purchasing the expansion with cash, not gold. And oh, I forgot, you can't get Magni with gold. And I actually do wish that was different. Magni should have a gold cost to unlock him, though if I were a dev, I'd make it kind of an outrageous gold cost, something not really proportional to the $9.99, something like, say, maybe 3,000 gold. It would be more efficient to use cash to unlock him, though for people who are purely free to play, this gives them a gold sink or another reason to keep playing every day and stay engaged and do dailies to grind out gold to eventually unlock Magni. And the more people you have playing the game, the better it is for the overall health in the game, especially when you have a game built on matchmaking and finding other players to play against. Now, am I going to buy Magni? Well, I think I'm far more likely to buy Magni than I am to buy a mount for myself on the Blizzard store. I kind of like to see a video of Magni in-game with all of the emotes first, but if I was a betting person, I'd say I'm going to be one of those people throwing $10 at the screen. I feel like there would be less outrage about this if Magni and future alternative heroes only cost, say, $5, and I think Blizzard would make more money at that price point overall, but what do I know? They've done their research, I haven't. Also, if Magni had been announced alongside the plans for, say, the next major expansion or a new adventure for the game, I don't think people would be as bitter. Overall, I think it comes down to people wanting new cards to play more so than new heroes right now. I think that if you released only two or three cards that were available for purchase for $5, that would get a lot more hype than an alternate hero. But I don't think we're going to have to wait until BlizzCon to find out about the next major content for Hearthstone. E3 and Gamescom will be here before you know it, and I wouldn't be surprised if we learn what's coming next for the game there. When it all comes down to it, if you have a problem with Magni, don't buy him. I'm sure Garrosh will have no problem being your warrior for the rest of your days.
Times change.
No, Gary, this wasn't the right time to say that. But anyhow, it's time to step out of the inn and look at the past week of news around the rest of Blizzard games as we go around the World of Warcraft and more in 80 seconds. Last week, World of Warcraft joined Pac-Man, Pong, Tetris, Super Mario Bros., and Doom as being named an inductee to the first class of the World Video Game Hall of Fame. The first major event for Heroes of the Storm was announced during last Saturday's livestream presentation on YouTube. The Eternal Conflict event will place an emphasis on bringing the Diablo universe further into Heroes of the Storm, including a new Diablo hero every 3 to 4 weeks, new mounts and skins, and the addition of two new battlegrounds. Barring any setbacks in testing, the Battlefields of Eternity and the Butcher should be available when the event begins on June 30th. Last week, the WoW team posted a preview of Hellfire Citadel, and you can learn more about the encounters of the upcoming raid by reading the blog on the official World of Warcraft website. A number of players have successfully completed the level 100 Iron Man challenge in WoW, including Yurnmon, the first player to level from 1 to 100 since the 6.0 stat squish without dying. You can find more information and a list of other successful players at wowchallenges.com. And finally, the Warlords of Draenor patch 6.2 live Q&A was postponed to this coming Saturday. You still have time to submit your questions using hashtag WarlordsQA. You can watch community manager Lore and lead game designer Ian Hazakostas address those questions at twitch.tv/wow at 2 p.m. Pacific time. And that's your news. I'll be back with Bay from Final Boss after these words of advice from Miss Mulgra.
Thrumka, and welcome to Ask Miss Mulgra, your source on matters of etiquette in Azeroth. Today's question is, should I protest that legislators have deemed Draenor a no-fly zone? I am not entirely sure what all the big to-do is about flying. I cannot fly. My warg cannot fly. I suppose my elemental spells fly through the ether, but that is entirely a different matter. So, how do I get from here to there? I walk, run, or sneak, of course. Naturally, my mode of locomotion depends upon what I am trying to achieve. The walking and running is good for maintaining my sleek shaman physique, and the sneaking is good for capturing gnomes. Unless you intend to become a lazy peon, I suggest you do less flying and more running. And if you are not good at sneaking, you will have to do without custard for dessert. I am Miss Mulgra, and that is my advice. Hakanagosh!
Follow at Miss Mulgra on Twitter, or listen to previous episodes at missmulgra.com.
When I last had this week's guest on the show, Greg Street had just announced joining Riot Games, and we were deeply entrenched in the Siege of Orgrimmar, fighting the final boss of Mists of Pandaria. We now find ourselves just weeks away from the launch of Patch 6.2, which brings us a new raid tier and maybe a new final boss, depending on who you ask. I felt now was as good a time as any to welcome back Bay from Final Boss to talk about raiding, final bosses, his podcast, machinima, and all sorts of other shenanigans. How you doing, Bay?
Hi, Ro. I'm doing all right, I guess. Just got over actually leaving to go to the IRL MMO for a little while. Came back with strep throat, so that's, you know, obviously why you don't go out into the real world.
Right. I saw you taking some pictures. There were some pictures out there with you and, like, Artemis Howell from a Hunting Party podcast and I think a couple other people.
That was a small bout. That was like a couple of hours. Affinity and Artemis were down in the area. I mean, a couple weeks ago, I went out to MSI up in Tallahassee, Florida for the League of Legends Invitational. Mm-hmm. So I had never seen League in person, never been to a live event, haven't been anywhere in a long time because I work so hard. And I get, you know, returned home and then I was sick for about 5 or 6 days.
Yeah, I'm actually, as we're recording this, I'm kind of getting over a bug myself, so I can definitely relate. I think it's just something to do with the weather. I don't know.
But I guess.
But yeah. I'm sure we'll get over it. I mean, it feels like the whole community in a way has a bit of a bug, and then we'll get to that in a second. But I wanted to talk a bit more about you and the show. And like I said, it was January 2014 when we last talked. You had a co-host. That co-host has moved on to take care of other things right now. Just talk a little bit about how the show has changed, if at all, and just maybe explain to people who haven't listened before what Final Boss is all about.
So Final Boss TV, as normally bannered as the World of Warcraft Endgame rating show, where I sit down with, now I do like guest co-hosts that come on to help me break down classes. Affinity comes on for healers. I brought Brutal on for some tank stuff. I think we had Trekkie and Sloot on. Sloot like kind of guest co-host guested at the same time kind of deal. But the show's main format is that we sit down with 2 to 3 guests of a certain class or spec in World of Warcraft to break down math, rotational things, talent choices, how gear is working out, how the new stat system is working, and really kind of get into the nitty-gritty of how each individual class in World of Warcraft, or spec in that regard, sort of functions from the tanking, ranged DPS, melee DPS, and healing meta as the game shifts and evolves. As the show has sort of garnished more viewership and grown a little bit.
Yeah, you were a bit surprised that you had as many subscribers on Stitcher as you did, you told me the other day.
Right. I haven't been able to. I tried to find analytics on iTunes, and I have no idea.
iTunes is terrible for that.
But you can go into Stitcher and say people are actually subscribing to your RSS feed. And like, I'm not a really big one for like gauging popularity of what I do. I just kind of do what I do. And I don't look at my viewer count if I can help it on a live stream. I try not to really even concern myself with like numbers on YouTube. They're frustrating because they're so fluctuating. So I don't, it just, you can't concern yourself with that if you're a content producer, because it just gets you like, why do people hate me? Rah!
Yeah.
But, or it makes you like second guess yourself or whatever. But as the show has sort of grown, now there is more of like a mixed gameplay stream as well. Obviously, I stream World of Warcraft, and all of my content mostly revolves around that. But I do all the live streaming for the raids we do and Mythic progression with my guild, Crisp, on Bailgun US Alliance. I actually just put my racial change back in to go back Pandaren. No more dwarf. Don't need stolen form anymore. So goodbye, Mythic Blackhand. Oh, geez.
How did Crisp do on Mythic Blackhand as far as the whole US raiding scene goes?
So we lost close to 2 weeks of progression due to the IRL slapping both of our tanks pretty hard. There was a death in the family on one side. Ooh. And then some roommate issues on the other. So we fell back a little bit. Granted, we didn't perform as well as we did in Siege of Orgrimmar, where we ended up US 37th. Mm-hmm. So we're US 99th, I believe.
Yeah, you still squeaked into the top 100.
Yeah, looking at the numbers that just came out of MMO Champion the other day, too, it's funny to look at that, like the small modicum of people that they sorted through on the armory, like the people that have actually destroyed Mythic Blackrock Foundry as whole. So I've actually defeated Blackhand up to that point in this like 2 month window, mm-hmm. are like 0.4% of the population.
Yeah. It's really amazing. You know, everyone talks about like once a Mythic end tier boss is down, everyone's like, okay, right. When's the next tier of content and stuff? A lot of people don't mm-hmm. realize it's such a small percentage of people that actually Oof. Defeat the hardest content, even while that patch is relevant.
I don't even think the overall number of sample size of any content cleared in BRF, including LFR, I don't think it even reaches 60% of the game yet.
Right.
So you think like that's still like millions of players that have never seen the raid scene. Now they could just be PvPers and don't actually ever raid. But if you look at like the raid scene, keep it in our, you know, neck of the woods, we're still, even you look at like the heroic Blackhand kills, that's still a very, very small percentage. And I don't know if that's because the game is balanced right now, or the incentive to raiding has diminished over time, or people are moving it on and finding other games to play and kind of playing WoW or whatever.
We could go into a whole podcast discussion about this. Yeah. I mean, I will sum up by saying I think a good deal of it. It's a number of issues. I think that this tier has had a lot of additional personal responsibility on individual raiders for these encounters, and that's affected progression, I think, in a big way.
Yeah, I think Mythic 20 Man feels wonderful from a hardcore raiding perspective. I think Blizzard still doesn't know how to not have balancing issues between classes and class stacking on certain fights, mostly just Black Hand issues. Right. I suppose that fight will not be remembered like everyone remembers Heroic Lei Shen. You know, that's like a top five designed encounter, whereas Mythic Black Hand will be like, I don't even know if he'll be top 10. It's just kind of not super fun. And most end tier fights have, like, I have, way back in the day, I've been playing since beta 4. So, like, I remember doing Illidan for the first time, and that was like a slugfest. And you finally beat him down, and he, like, does the little RP at the end, and Maeve's talking, and you're like, and I never got that. Like, you can watch my reaction on the kill video POV of mine, my, like, hear me. For Mythic Blackhand, I'm just like, okay, fine, let's move on.
it seems to be like that more so nowadays, rather than, yes, we finally got him down, it's more like, finally.
Yeah.
We can stop raiding hardcore for a week or two.
Yeah, we took the week off after, so, and then we got our repeat kill last reset, actually, and it was kind of, phase two is where all the fight kind of comes down to it. If you miss a balcony, it's over, but our first phase three, we just one-shot it. So, like, once you know what's happening, it's pretty simple, but, like, the RNG of phase two is just atrocious.
And more atrocious than Orgorger RNG, huh?
Well, Orgorger sort of has a pattern that you get used to after you've done them enough times, but, like, the, depending on the movement from the fire, the tank RNG, the, if you're doing the tanking, the tank strat in the corner, that's a lot of healing intensive thing. Like, if one healer can miss a cooldown or a GCD or something like that,
who gets targeted by Marked for Death and all that
stuff. For Death. And I, the melee POV for my almost all of phase two, I'm like standing around baiting the demolisher cannons, doing nothing. So no DPS, I'm just standing there baiting fire with two other melee, like, just
As much as I've talked about Blackrock Foundry and such, and I cleared it on normal with Brule's Guild and an Outrun and such like that, but with the team that I run with normally, we're only halfway through. We probably won't end up clearing that raid. We're already looking ahead toward Hellfire Citadel because we're just kind of tired of Blackrock Foundry already. Kind of felt like Siege of Orgrimmar Part 2 as far as the atmosphere and the feel in a way. So
Blackrock Foundry definitely feels like Siege 2.0. It's just orcs in a castle cave situation, and like Heimdall was a good breakup for that because you had like the inside outside and it was ogre tech, so it like looked different, I suppose. But yeah, BRF was a lot of the same we just dealt with, and I think the big reason why it's such a sour taste in people's mouth is because we were in Siege for like 13 months. And then we get into Blackrock Foundry, and granted we've only been here for a couple, it's almost like, oh god, we're back. So I think Hellfire Citadel, from all of the PTR testing I have done, I have tested every boss but one. It's very good. I mean, there is the orc aesthetic, obviously. There's the Iron Horde side of things. There's a very, like, almost Warhammer 40k-ish feel when you get into, like, the whole, like, Citadel area where you fight Vel'Hari and the amphitheater section. There's the Arakoa side of things with Iskar. There is the interrogation area or the demon lock warlock portal-y stuff with Zul'Harak. It's a lot of different flavors, and I think
The encounters, from what I've seen on the PTR, just there's a lot of variety to it. I mean, even encounters like Gorfiend, that looks like an amazing encounter.
He's a throwback. He's a throwback to a little bit of his former self or his other self in our timeline for Black Temple.
Right.
But there's no Gorfiend syndrome. You won't need a flash game to play the new Gorfiend, so everyone can calm down there. But he has a similar mechanic to that regard, and it was a lot of fun. He's in, like, the sewer area. There's, like, an interesting story when I went through on the PTR when the server wasn't resetting, and I walked around through all the rooms and find where things connected and where the all, like, the little stories built into all the rooms. Like, Deadeye. Killrog Deadeye's room is, like, this, like, creepy, broken down, like, ritual area, and there's all these eyes looking at you in these big black holes in the walls and, like, onlooking, like, demons and stuff. It's really, like, a neat atmospheric little room. So I just feel like that we needed demons, I think. We needed something else because we've been orcs for literally almost 2 years.
Yeah, this feels a lot more like a Burning Crusade 2.0 than it does anything else.
Yeah, I said originally going into this expansion that Garrosh Hellscream was orc with a little bit of Shaw goopiness, Whereas the end or the demon side of this expansion would be a lot of demons with a little bit of orc tacked on. Absolutely. So it's flipped really well. I think it's going to be really fun.
Well, as far as 6.2 and the content coming along with that, I've got to imagine that we talked a little bit at the beginning of the show that right now, from what I've seen, just looking on the Twitter feed, looking on the forum posts, the community is not really in the best of shape as far as like morale and overall opinion goes. Now, there are some people who are just fine and dandy with the state of World of Warcraft, but you see a lot more people being vocal about it lately. I was wondering, has this had any impact on your guests on your podcast or even your listeners? Are there any additional challenges to putting on a podcast when the community is currently feeling how it seems to feel, at least as far as the more vocal sorts go?
I definitely know what you mean about that feel in the community. I think tons of different content creators have, I'm not going to even name all of them because so many of them put out videos like, if I ran World of Warcraft, or, you know, the state of the community, World of Warcraft. Like, there are, like, these newsy sort of preachy vlogs.
I've watched a handful of them myself. I know.
Right. I actually posted a whole bunch on one in particular to sort of actually promote, like, responses to see what people are feeling about things. And it was interesting to me. I posted, like, 9 giant, like, replies to this one video to see if people responded and read my giant walls of text. And I got something back from almost all of them. The show itself, though, Final Boss TV, we've brought up some things sort of like that only revolve around raiding. We really haven't gone sort of with like the like larger ballooned sort of.
You don't have to worry about lack of flight in Hellfire Citadel.
Exactly. I mean, we muse garrisons now and then, and mostly because like the shipyard expansion is coming, basically, which will be fun for like 4 to 6 weeks. And then you'll just right click it all with master plan and forget about it.
Right.
Which is sort of an awkward problem with this expansion, as Blizzard's trying to find these little micro games. I don't think they're working as well, but they're trying stuff.
World of Menu Craft is not pleasing everyone.
Right. It really is. I mean, before this interview, I logged into my 3 alts. I hit completed missions. I right-clicked a bunch of stuff that like maybe just gold mostly or garrison resources, and then hit send requested, you know, followers, and then logged out.
I can definitely relate to that. Let's turn things a little bit back to the show for a bit. One thing I wanted to know is with Final Boss, you've talked about how each episode, for the most part, tends to focus on one class or one spec. It kind of varies from class to class, really. Like, you could probably talk about all Warlocks on one show, really, right?
Right. Well, each show is always themed at, like we just did this past Sunday. We sat down with... Oh my goodness, my brain just totally exploded right now. Let me give you some time to cut around my fumble here.
That is fun.
So actually, last Sunday, we just sat down with Binkenstein and Technics for Elemental Shaman. Mm-hmm. And we did it for an hour and 40 minutes talking about Elemental Shaman. We had like a little part there where we haven't talked about ranged DPS for a little while due to me being sick and the show being postponed for a week. We kind of talked about like the ranged DPS hierarchy a little bit there. And the week before that, well, the last time, we did Protection Warrior, which was the last tanking class. So in that one, we talked a little bit about like how the tanking hierarchy is. But mostly the shows sort of bounce around and focus on one class spec. Specifically, there are 34 of them, if my math doesn't fail me here.
Yeah, so you don't have a problem with really running out of topics, by the time that you go through all those specs, you will have had a content patch, hopefully.
Right.
And then some of those specs will have to be revisited. I just have to know, do you throw darts at the board, or how do you actually choose which specs you focus on?
So Mystic Pandaria was a dartboard, basically, because it was more of like, can we talk about... I never tried to, like, bump up the same role next to each other in Mystic Pandaria, but it was always... the show was growing, I was learning how to network with people, I was learning who are good guests to talk to and where to find good guests to talk to.
Right.
Because there's a big misnomer on the internet with my show being, like, the only caliber that it sort of is with this, like, bringing on top-tier players or big theory crafters and discussing things. Everyone thinks I can get anyone on the show that they name, but many people don't want to be on a show like this. They don't want to be interviewed. They don't want to talk openly. They don't want to be on camera. They don't have the time. There's a couple of reasons, you know.
Well, so not only that, I don't imagine not all high-end mythic raiders, not all big-time theory crafters and number crunchers are going to be one people that have the personalities that are more conducive to a podcast.
Yeah, not to like downplay them at all. Like some people just don't have the, you know, the fortitude to be like talked to and ask questions for like 2 hours.
Sure.
They don't have the it's not in their vernacular, I guess, or their skill set or their like comfort zone, really. Mm-hmm. So it's you got to find the right people to come on the show. So, and in World of Draenor, though, I've sort of switched to this sort of a carousel where I'll do tank, DPS, healer, then tank, DPS, but the DPS goes between ranged and melee, and then a healer again.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be somewhat amended, I think, show going forward, where we'll do like tank, ranged DPS, melee DPS, or vice versa, then a healer. So there's two DPS back-to-back. So there's like people complain there was like a huge gap between the DPS shows. Most players, of course, based on the needs of them, two tanks in a raid, 4 or 5 healers in a raid, most of all the DPS. Bigger gaps in DPS episodes are what people have asked to be shortened.
Right.
So you've only got 7 episodes left right now, and Discipline and Holy Priests are coming up on June the 7th. And that'll be the last healing episode of the standard Warlord's Junket. So the salt is ready, I believe, because the healing meta is nothing like Blizzard said or talked about in the beta.
It really isn't.
it's such, which they've said before multiple times, we're going to fix healing, we're going to fix healing, we're going to do this, we're going to do that.
I would be failing this interview if I did not ask you some cheesy final boss related questions.
Here they come.
Yeah. Here we go. Do you believe Archimonde is the final boss of Warlords of Draenor?
On paper, yes, but due to my sleuthing skills and what I've been told through the webway and the inability to think that Blizzard's not going to try to hide another Cho'Gall, I do not think he is, no.
I would tend to agree. It just feels weird to end with Archimonde. I think we're going to have another Sunwell-ish type of raid added. That may not necessarily be, you know, like its own tier. It might be a half tier as a callback to what they did with Sunwell. It feels like this has to end with Cho'Gall, in my opinion. Is that basically who you think it's going to be?
Well, I mean, I use the Cho'Gall response because in Mythic Imperator, that you don't know Cho'Gall comes in at the end of the fight on the Mythic only version. So they totally hit it. There's nothing in the Dungeon Journal. There was no way. No one found the combat.
Oh, I'm sorry. I said Cho'Gall and I meant Gul'dan.
Right. Oh, you meant Gul'dan.
Right. Two syllable words and stuff. But yes, I meant, right, do you mean that Gul'dan is going to be the final boss for Warlords?
They need, as Gul'dan runs in like the echelon of Blizzard baddies for World of Warcraft, this is one of their top three, in my opinion, if mm-hmm. not like the fourth in the top five. So they can't just make him just flutter away, I think. I don't know if we're going to get a additional tier of content. That all sort of comes down to when we get 6.2. Like if we get 6.2 end of this month, beginning of next month, I could theorize we might get another tier in February, because we all have to really imagine now that the next expansion comes out right around the time the movie comes out next June.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense to me. So the obviously everyone thought that we won't have two tiers because it's quite what said at BlizzCon last year. I don't know if we'll get another full tier. I just think we're going to have a Mythic only extra boss a la Syndragosa style. Not Syndragosa. Sinestra style. Another mix-up of stupid dragon names with most of the asses. So yeah, I think we'll get a Sinestra-style fight after we defeat Archimonde in Mythic. And I have some thoughts on who it is. I don't want to like give anything away. I don't think it's directly Gul'dan, but I don't know if we're going to be killing Gul'dan in a solo scenario with Khadgar
for the Legendary Ring quest. Don't.
That's the big fear, is that because it's a big baddie, Blizzard wants to make it that everyone can see the big baddie fall.
Yeah, so, and everyone got to see Garrosh fall too, and they did it in a horrible way.
Yeah, I mean, everyone got to see it like LFR in that regard, and then they got to see it in the
Well, I'm referring to the Warlords cutscene. Yeah, it's
the cutscene. Yeah. I'm unsure because Blizzard has done this both ways, so they really can do whatever they want. They can do a Mythic-only fight. They can do an extra phase on Archimonde in Mythic-only. Because nothing in Heroic, like, nothing happens after you defeat Archimonde. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just RP. And that's the weird thing. I don't think the rest of the RP is even put in. Because Gul'dan is sort of there channeling on the Dark Portal, the new Dark Portal, like, the whole time.
Right.
And nothing happens when you defeat the encounter. So it's obviously not finished yet because they don't want people to know what's happening.
It almost makes you wonder if 6.2 will be out in June if they're still holding on to those cards.
Right, because normally people get this stuff data mined, even though no one knew Cho'Gall existed. So they must have some way to hard like file things into the cask system now where mm-hmm. you can't find it, or everything's just renamed to nothing like the actual sound files or the boss or the person you're fighting. So who knows?
Right now on the 6.2 PTR, the actual final boss could actually be Steve, and Steve could be renamed right before launch.
That's true. We don't know exactly. So we'll have to see, because they've done like the hidden extra mythic only phase. They've done the cutscene sort of stuff. I think Noble was the one that theorized originally because of they put in that stupid garrison statue that has Gul'dan and Khadgar mm-hmm. fighting, that it must be something that players can experience directly, like one-on-one. But the achievement for that statue now, Khadgar's final task, has been changed currently. So it does not actually lead you to believe that Gul'dan is going to be defeated in 6.2.
Right.
So does he go through the portal? Does he go through the Twisted Nether and come back like super demon, awesome Gul'dan, Warhammer 40,000, like Demon Prince style? Like, do we chase him to back to our Azeroth, the next expansion, which they could do whatever they want, really. Blizzard took us back in time to a parallel Whovian, Star Trekian universe split dimension thing. So they could do whatever they want at this point.
Well, it should be interesting to see. Bay, it's been fun having you back here. And I know that some people are like, this doesn't sound like what Bay talks about in Final Boss at all. Well, that's because, right. Among other things, I don't play a whole lot of classes and specs. Now, you, I know, on the other hand, you play quite a few different classes and specs, so you're pretty well acquainted with a number of them. I would say that for people to get a really good feel of what your show's about, they should just come by on a Sunday and check out the live stream of what you and your guest co-host of the week and the guests talk about. So let's tell people where, when, and how to find the final boss when it records.
Right. I mean, so Sundays, almost every Sunday, starting at 4 p.m. Eastern, is when a normal live show interview will happen for Final Boss TV. Guests are always announced at the end of shows for the next upcoming week, or because of scheduling, basically we do a lot of stuff on announcing things on Facebook and Twitter on our social medias, which is just Final Boss TV. So, I mean, you can also, of course, check out the YouTube for all of our backlog episodes. I have the highlights of all of our mythic and heroic kills so far for last expansion, this expansion. All the after shows and main shows are right there. Highlights of things that I have on the show, other games that I've been playing. The 82 episodes of the show itself, and almost every single one of those has an after show. So literally almost 170 episodes of Final Boss in the YouTube format.
That's awesome.
And we're also on iTunes and Stitcher, just Final Boss TV out of those if you want to listen to the audio-only version. And we also have the audio-only version client on our website, too, if you want to just RSS feed into that manually.
Bay, you're one hell of a content creator, both on your podcast and beyond it. And I do want people to go check out Final Boss. Thank you again for being on the show this week. I will catch up with you again, hopefully sooner than the last time we spoke.
Right. No, I appreciate it, Ro. And I thank everyone. And I will see all the new friendly faces on the social media or the live stream. And thank you again.
Thanks again to Bay for being on the show this week. Let's move on to this week's podcast news. The Dark Moon Fair is running this week, so why not listen to not one, but two new episodes of the Dark Moon Herald while racing, flying, and talking your way to more Dark Moon tickets. DMH7 winner Lilane lives for all things lore, and she joins Kevin and Reb on episode 93, which you can find on iTunes, Stitcher, or at darkmoonherald.com. Popular Hearthstone streamer Karma joined Garrett and Jocelyn on last week's episode of The Angry Chicken. You'll not only hear tips for getting the legend rank, but also a very interesting conversation regarding the challenges involved for females streaming and competing on the tournament scene. The Angry Chicken records on Mondays at 10 p.m. Eastern Time at twitch.tv/amovetv, and you can find the show in all of the usual places as well as amove.tv. So, how does Girls Gone WoW follow up last week's show featuring such a massive WoW community celebrity? Why, with two celebrities, of course. They're joined by Jules and Marconen from Torn Think Tank to hear their thoughts on how things are going in-game right now, and to help some of their listeners out with some interpersonal problems in the game. Find Girls Gone WoW at GGW Show on Twitter or at girlsgonewow.net. On episode 111 of 30 Minute Cooldown, titled Never Knew to Ask Why, Katie and Eric discussed the worst thing to have ever happened to WoW and why they're not logging on as much anymore, then offer solutions that could turn things around. Eric also proposes an experiment that, if successful, could change how WoW is played. Listen in on iTunes, Stitcher, Facebook, and at 30minutecooldown.com. Would you like WoW to go free to play? You'll hear a full discussion on that topic on the latest episode of the Cast Bar, which is now available on iTunes and Stitcher. Blizzard may be mostly silent of late, and while many people may be lamenting over that silence, you might hear a perspective on why that silence is in fact golden. Follow the show on Twitter at CastBarPodcast. Diz gives his opinions on why garrisons are a part of the social aspect of WoW, and Jason gives a few tips going into patch 6.2 on episode 27 of the World of Z's podcast. You can find this show at worldofzeez.com. Those of you watching for Overwatch have had plenty to look at with all the latest gameplay videos, and you'll hear those discussed on the latest episode of Overcast. Check out the show's site at theovercastshow.blogspot.com. Frosty and Chris also discuss how Blizzard might help players learn more of the story of the Overwatch universe and its heroes. You can catch the next Overcast when it records live on June 14th at 11 p.m. Eastern Time over at twitch.tv/overcastshow. Episode 126 of the Your WoW Mini Podcast brings you another dose of Gold Macon Gavin as Hava, Ruckles, and the Kerosene Kid talk about another gold sink, a farmer's broom, Old Bess's YouTube video, and a post from Profits. Get your gold on iTunes and at yourwowmoney.com. And finally, was it my imagination or did I see DG from Group Quest on Jesse Cox's Heroes of the Storm team this past Sunday on Twitch? There was plenty of Heroes talk on episode 202 of Group Quest, and you'll hear the story behind that appearance on Team Jesse Cox. Find the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and thegroupquest.com. And that sound major update is complete. It's time to press the play button and brace myself for the Twitter meltdown I'm expecting on Saturday after the Q&A. That's provided there are no more delays, of course. I want to give a big shout out to Whammo, who can be found on Twitter at @Whammo_, for providing the new logo for Realm Maintenance. It's been nearly 150 episodes, and I've decided to ditch Azeroth and the Moon and the old school logo and bring something a little more modern to the table. I really like how the logo turned out, and I hardly had to pay anything. And in fact, for me, it's a funny story behind this. I got my second Dark Moon Rabbit drop during the, I think it was the May Dark Moon Fair, or the April Dark Moon Fair or the May Dark Moon Fair, and I ended up trading that Dark Moon Rabbit to Whammo to get this logo made, so it was a win-win for me. I think the logo turned out awesome, and I want to thank Whammo once again. If you're a podcaster and you are looking to change up your logo or just change up anything with your page, Twitter header, anything like that, check at @Whammo_ on Twitter. He does great work. I also want to toss out a couple quick shameless plugs out there. There's a new episode of Extended Maintenance up. We talk all about time walking. And you will find me on the latest episode of The Edge when it posts later this week. I think I'm filling in for Pally, who's absent, and I'm sure we will have plenty to talk about. I just don't know what it's going to be. As always, folks, you can let me know what you think of the show by going to iTunes or Stitcher. If you'd like to help support what I'm doing here on Realm Maintenance, you can go to patreon.com/realmpodcast, and you can pledge as little as $1 a month or donate to the show using the PayPal button found at realm-maintenance.com. 100% of the money the show receives takes care of hosting costs, post-production, and future giveaways. In fact, as you know, episode 150 is just around the corner, and I have some great stuff planned for that. Realm-maintenance.com is where to go to find the weekly podcast roundup or sign up for the RSS feed. If you're a podcaster and have news about your show or a promo to send in, or if you're a listener with questions about Blizzard games or podcasts for those games, send those emails to realmpodcast@gmail.com. Of course, you can also follow the show on Twitter at @RealmPodcast or follow myself at Rowow, spelled R-H-O-W-O-W. Next week, Chris Case from The Game Case will join me to talk about his show coming from the perspective of someone who is newer to WoW than most of his fellow peers out there. Until then, I've been Ro, you've been you, and Realm Maintenance has been completed. This podcast has been a presentation of Realm Maintenance Productions, copyright 2015, and is distributed by Signals Media. You can find this show and other great podcasts at signalsmedia.com. Certain audio portions of this podcast belong entirely to Blizzard Entertainment, and no copyright infringement is intended. Thanks again to Bay for being on the show this week. Thanks to everyone in the Blizzard podcast community for the retweets and for getting the word out about the show. And as always, thanks to you for listening.
This podcast is a part of the Signals Media All-Star Network. For more information on this and other fine shows, go to signalsmedia.com. It's okay to stick our stuff in your ears.
Really?